It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's why.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thanks for tuning in to the Amber May Show. I have an exciting guest. You may have heard him on previous shows. It's Cowboy Joe joining us today. We are going to have like a scientific discussion, but it's going to be pretty interesting about creation versus evolution and also the giant people that roamed the earth. And some of you know him as Goliath, but there were others who might have been even taller than him. So welcome, Cowboy Joe, to the program.
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm going to hand over the mic to you, and you just take off, and I'm going to just follow along, because you are really smart when it comes to science, and especially evolution and creation, so take it away.
Well, one of the things I'd like to discuss today is the theories of creation versus evolution, and there's a lot of people out there that say that we can't prove our Christianity through science. As a matter of fact, there is no possible way to prove that God exists 100% for sure. It's based on belief, and belief is faith required. However, we can disprove some of the theories that what we'd say are our enemies, our foes, whoever you want to call them, that believe in things like evolution. We can use their own science theories to actually prove them as invalid, to show that there is no other possible explanation for what's happening besides a creator. One of those theories is well known and well taught in school is the theory of Pangaea. For all those who don't know what Pangaea is the one large, massive continent that is put together. That's how they explain things like dinosaur fossils, bones, footprints that occur not only in this country, but also in a country such as Africa. And they figure out how can the same animal not only be in Africa, but also in the United States. Well, a scientist has come up with a theory back in the 1600s about Pangaea, one continent. And what they did is they took a map, picture a flat map of the world, because that's what they had at this time was paper. So they'd write down all the continents on paper and draw them out, and they'd have a flat piece of paper with these continents on them. They would sit down and they'd look at it and say, okay, now, mind you, most of these guys aren't Christians. They don't believe in God. So they have to come up with some sort of logical explanation of how all this stuff happened. The theory was that all the continents were somehow together at one point in time, that they bring Africa together with South America and North America together with those two, and then they bring all the European countries and rotate them in as well. Well, when you look at, if you get the time, look at a map of Pangaea. You can see a couple of flaws in it right away. First of all, when they make this map, they have to eliminate most of the South American strip, which is
Central America, like Panama and all those islands right there?
Correct. They have to actually get rid of that.
Wow.
That's an unexplainable deletion on their part.
What about Antarctica? Where's that?
Well, that in some maps will show up and some will not. It's not quite understood as which scientists believe that the original scientists, what they believed was actually Antarctica was actually a part of, because it's not in every map, like I said.
Huh.
They mainly focus on the four major continents, North America, South America, Africa, and the European continent.
What about Australia? They leave that out too?
Yeah, Australia is an island, so yes, most of the time Australia can be left out. Of course, this is going back to the original theory of Pangaea, which was developed. And, of course, they've added on through time in our schools, they've added on to the theory of Pangaea. But the original theory of Pangaea is what I'm focusing on right now. That's how it started.
Wow.
But in the original theory, there's some fatal flaws. And they carry those fatal flaws on to every single element of this theory whenever they recreate it. One of those major fatal flaws is what we just discussed, which is the elimination of the countries such as Panama. They have to completely get rid of those in order to rotate them into place. What you'll notice on some other ones as well is that they not only push the continents themselves together, but they have to rotate them at varying degrees. So every country isn't coming together at the same set of rotation, okay? One country is being rotated 90 degrees, while the other one's only going like 13 degrees. So not only are they rotating these countries now, but now they're pushing them together. So you got to kind of stop and think a little bit. I mean, so you can go a little bit of a scientific theory and some of it common sense. And you can look at it with a common sense aspect and say, hey, why would one whole continent be rotating almost 90 degrees and this one over here only rotating 13 degrees? When in reality, they're actually one on top and one below the other.
And they're still coming up with this theory, you said, because things like maybe dinosaurs or animals are in different parts of the world as they're excavating. So they think that we're all just one big super planet and there's no ocean in between, right? Am I getting that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
They think there's a land bridge or something, which is also one of the theories why they come up with ice ages and that kind of stuff, is saying that they have to have bridges for these animals to cross so that we can find the same bones on two different continents. Well, all that's fine and dandy, but you got to remember that these people are thinking of this because it's logical, because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in a creator. So the only way they can come up with something like this is to think logically. And you can't read the book, or you can't read the Bible and come up with a different explanation like this unless you don't believe. Because the Bible clearly tells us exactly what happened and how everything was documented.
Right.
God did a very good job of documenting all this information for us and showing us exactly what happened to our history. Matter of fact, it's so good documentation that we find records of it all over the world. Different cultures, different people that don't have the Bible or didn't have a copy of the Bible at the time were recording pictographs in caves of floods and large boats like Noah, the story of Noah. They didn't always call him Noah, but they knew he was there. The story was passed down from one generation to another. So our theories can never be proven 100%. Christian theory can't. But it can't be disproven. That's the big thing. Evolutionary theories, they can't prove their theory. That's why it's called a theory. But it can be disproven. That's why it'll never be called a law.
Okay, so if Pangaea is not correct, were the continents together at one point?
According to most Christian scientists, a lot of Christian scientists have gotten together over the years, and they pondered this idea. And putting it together with records of the Bible, which is what we should do as Christians, because that is a fact, the Word of God, 100% truth. So we put together our scientific knowledge of the world that we know as laws and facts, and we put that together with the knowledge in the Bible, which is 100% correct. So we give two definite equations, you put them together, and you come up with a theory. The main theory that is discussed and probably well known among a lot of Christian scientists today is that there were basically like two to three large land masses. And those large land masses were connected by sediment. And that sediment was basically how things got back and forth across the bridges. They're not exactly shaped the way our continents were today. And they were well connected. They were large land masses. At that time, before the flood, we had a canopy of water above us and a canopy of water below us. We know this because of the scriptural verses that talk about the fountains of the deep during the flooding.
Which was also why it was very rare that people were talking to no one, looking at them crazy like a flood's coming, because I don't think they had rain, right? It was just kind of like mist or something like that?
Yeah, it was a completely different atmosphere during that time before Noah.
So for Noah to say, it's going to flood and it's going to rain, they're like, are you crazy? You must be off your rocker.
Right. At that time, it was kind of a stable environment for those people. And the world was completely different as we know it today. The flood completely, Noah's flood completely changed the structure of our world. And that's why we can see these bones at different places. What happened was when the fountains of the deep opened, they created things like the great trenches in our oceans. That's where our fountains of the deep come from. That places like that, and one of the theories is also places like the Grand Canyon. would be a Fountains of the Deep, where the water is not only coming from the sky where it's raining, but the Fountains of the Deep is coming up out of the ground. So now we're getting trenches. And when a massive amount of water like that moves, it cuts land, it cuts rock, it cuts debris, and it does it at a very rapid rate.
Which creates fossils, right?
Correct. That's the only way we can get those fossils is by a rapid burial process, which would also explain the flood and the Fountains of the Deep.
Which is also one way we can prove dinosaurs and humans lived at the same time. Not only is it documented in the Bible by different books of the Bible, like Job and stuff, but handprints are found in dinosaur footprints, or human footprints are found in dinosaur footprints.
Right. And how we got that was because of those sedimentary bridges that were between the continents. What happened was the Fountains of the Deep opened up. They were underneath those sedimentary bridges, which is all that loose soil. And that's how we got these rapid burials, is because now all this loose soil was being pushed out of the way by the Fountains of the Deep, and it was covering the earth. Things were getting trapped in it. Animals, plants, everything you can imagine got trapped in it. And when things get buried rapidly like that, it doesn't give it much of a chance to decay, and it turns into fossils or a stony type structure. And that's where we get most of our fossils from today, is because of the flood, because of Noah's flood. If you want to do a scientific experiment yourself, I mean, it's pretty easy to see that when a tree falls in the woods 20, 30 years from now, it's almost completely gone. Right. We don't get a fossil from a tree that falls in the woods. We get a fossil because the tree fell and was rapidly buried by sediment. Mm-hmm. That's how we get a fossil. So according to the theories of evolution, it takes millions of years to do this, but they can't reproduce that.
Because we've seen it in our time really fast, not millions of years.
Correct. So it not only did God document it in the Bible, but he's giving us a chance to see our history and see our past. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty knowledgeable God, because now we're digging things up and we're going, wow, this is what our ancestors lived with and we lived among. And God has preserved it for us in a kind of a like a museum. He was actually that smart to be able to make like a museum for us.
That's pretty cool. And stuff we still see every day, like dinosaurs and things like that. Now, we recently came across an email about these big, huge bones, human bones, and big human feet and stuff. And at one point they said, oh, it must have been an ape or a gorilla or something. But in the Bible, it talks about the Philistines being these tall creatures. Goliath was, what, 10 feet tall? If you go to Ripley's Believe It or Not, sometimes they have really tall people that were documented, and I know I got to see one myself, and I took pictures of it, really tall man. So, I mean, there were giants, literal giants, that walked among us. Talk about that, some of the things that we've discovered.
Well, that is also correct, and we can also see that not only in the scriptures, but also in fossil records, because in the Bible, it does talk about people like Goliath, and Goliath was a giant of that time, and Goliath would have been approximately 10 feet tall. And we know this because of armor, things mm-hmm. like armor and shields and swords that guys of that period were not normally handling. They were too large for them. And when your life depends on a sword, somebody's not going to walk around with a sword that's too heavy for them, because that means it's going to cost them their life. So the argument that these guys were just trying to show off, which is one I've heard before, doesn't really set true, because, again, we're talking about life and death. These are military men. These are soldiers. They don't carry things that are way too big for them. They have to carry something they can use in battle, because not only is their life depending on it, but the kings are depending on their soldiers to be able to defeat their enemies. So that argument has kind of been defeated, as well as the fact that you can see in the Bible when it talks about kings and Goliath and whole nations, like when the Israelites first came in to the Promised Land.
Right.
You could see the fruit, and it talks about the fruit and the bounty of the land. This was a land of giants.
Yeah, that's what it says.
And those people estimated at this time that they were between 10 and 12 feet tall. That's what we can assume. Now, they could have been much taller than that. That is possible. But according to the fossil records that have been found, and some of the things that we have recorded scientifically, the largest men that we know are been about 12 feet tall. And they do come from that time period. They were about 2,000 years old. So they could be right around the time of Goliath.
Which I consider a giant. I'm only 5'5", and to see a man that's 12 feet tall, his hands are bigger than my head, I mean, that would scare me if I'm trying to, quote unquote, go to this land God says is ours, but there's these giant people that live there. What are they going to do? Just let me walk into their land? No, they're probably going to want to put up a fight. I would be terrified, just like these Israelites were. And these emails about these big femurs and these huge bones, it was just unbelievable. And it kind of debunked some of that evolution theory that they talked about before. Go into that a little bit.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And one of the things they count on in evolution is talking about different time periods, because it takes a long period for things to evolve. And according to their time periods, a lot of men could not have existed during certain times of the dinosaur periods. Okay, I believe, I can't quote me on this one yet, but the Cretaceous period, which is where some of the prints were that the fossil records that they've collected, the evolutionists have collected, and they state that in this during this time period, human beings were not walking the earth. These were only dinosaurs. Okay, it wasn't till about 1940, I believe, when a human footprint was actually found inside of a dinosaur footprint from that time period that the evolutionists were claiming was from that time period. Mm-hmm. And this human footprint was unusual because it wasn't the size of a normal human foot. At first, they tried to argue that this was an ape. And if you remember when we talked about rapid burial before, it's the only way that these things could happen. Again, we get fossils because of rapid burial process. Mm-hmm. So this dinosaur would have had to step on the ground in a muddy terrain and cause a footprint there. And then this human had to be walking right behind him and step in that very same footprint as this flood was just occurring.
And we were talking earlier that maybe what happened was the flood was coming and they were trying to run around the same time, or the guy was trying to hunt the dinosaur, because, you know, God says in the Bible that we're supposed to have dominion over the earth, so it wouldn't be too far-fetched to find out if someone was trying to get a dinosaur, because there's people like a whale hunting, and that's a huge creature compared to us. So it could have been a hunting thing. It could have been running from the flood, like you were saying. Who knows why it happened at that time, but it did.
You're absolutely right. It's called us being a steward of the creation. God made us all stewards of our creation. So it is our responsibility not only to manage what God gave us, but also to use what God gave us. Mm-hmm. One of the other theories I'd like to get into is coal and oil.
I wanted you to bring that up. Good one.
A lot of scientists would try to make you believe that it takes millions of years to make coal and oil. Well, we know from accounts of the flood that the flood happened approximately 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, correct? Because mm-hmm. we're in the year 2010 right now. Mm-hmm. And approximately 2,000 to 3,000 years before that was when we believe the flood occurred, okay? Well, as Christians, we believe that that rapid burial process, and also scientifically, we believe that the rapid burial process is what entraps most of that stuff, which would create a large pocket of decaying material.
Right.
Okay? So when that large plant material decays instead of fossilizing, it forms large pockets of oil. Science won't argue with you on this fact. We get oil, we get coal, because of plant and animal material that's decaying. That's how we get it. It's just that simple. However, the argument is how it gets there and how long it takes to make it. Now in this process, the coal and the oil, we as Christians can believe it's only been there for about 4,000 or 5,000 years because we believe in that flood. So we know that it's not millions of years old. It didn't take millions of years to make this. Then what happened was, again, around the 60s, around the 70s, we started making new discoveries on coal and oil. As we're excavating new coal fields and new oil fields, as we're just marking them, we don't always drill them. Sometimes we just find them and we mark them for future use. Sometimes we use them for study. Well, as they're studying some of these fields, actually here in the United States, they're actually finding some odd findings in the coal and in the oil. And one of those odd findings was a coal field. It was found in the east, on the east coast, and in this coal field, while they're digging it up, they find a large chunk of coal, and when they're actually able to split it open, lo and behold, inside of that coal is a plastic miner's hat.
which we know was not millions of years old.
And we know it wasn't 4,000 or 5,000 years old either.
Right.
So we've been able to show that now that some of these burials, which could be anything from garbage dumps to anything else like that, that but it has to be a burial process, we can actually create coal and oil in those processes. Okay, so now we know that we're shooting holes in the evolutionary theories. What we're doing is we're stating that, hey, look, you guys say it takes millions of years to do this, but if it took millions of years, I guarantee you these plastic hats. Yeah, these cavemen you're talking about, Lucy wasn't wearing a plastic hat. I guarantee you that
really
much.
Smart if they were.
So I guess the key to the whole evolutionary subject, what I'd like to say is basically we cannot prove 100% the creation is true based on scientific fact. You just can't, because it's a belief.
And we can't create because we're not the creator.
Right, but we have a guidebook that shows us it's 100% accurate, and we can show that because no matter how hard they try in evolution, they can never prove the creation theory false.
Right.
But every time we get together with our minds and we start believing, the more we believe and the more we think about it and the more we ask God for our guidance, the more we find wrong with the theories that they try to give us. And those theories, the evolutionary theories, that's the key to the success right there, is we have to show them what the problems are in their theories and then challenge them. Be open-minded about it and let them challenge you and say, hey, what can you show me that's wrong about the creation theory? How is it that it's not possible? Because everything they say can be rebutted with an explanation, not only written in scripture, but use of common sense and using their own theories. For instance, if someone wants to ask you about the Big Bang Theory, and they tell you the Big Bang Theory is how it all happened. Okay, gaseous matter, I understand that, coming together, a large explosion. Where'd the gaseous matter come from? Well, it came from particles. Okay, where did those particles come from? At some point, they're going to have to admit that something couldn't be created out of nothing unless there's a creator involved. So any way you put it, you can be able to shoot holes in the theories of evolution. And that's kind of my whole point about this. You got to approach it from a nice aspect and a good aspect towards them and be more like a friend to them and be open-minded. And when you're open-minded, they're more susceptible to listen to the kind of stuff you have to say. And believe me, that the scriptures and science, when you put them together, they're a pretty dangerous tool.
They go hand in hand. They really do. The more you try and disprove God, it seems to me like the more he's showing himself.
And the more the scientists use the scripture to back their work, the better the scientists they're going to be.
Absolutely.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
Did you know that your chance of being a victim of identity theft is 1 in 4? Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is being stolen. In 2007, 8.4 million of Americans were victimized by identity theft. Do what I did and protect your identity. Anyone can be a target, and once your social is out, it's staying out. LifeLock is the leader in identity theft protection. Use the service most cops use themselves. When you visit LifeLock.com and use promo code AMBER10, you will receive a 10% discount plus a 1-month free trial. That's LifeLock.com and use promo code AMBER10 at checkout.
You're listening to The Amber May Show. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming and enlightening us a little bit about evolution, creationism, kind of taking us back and just kind of walking us through things maybe we didn't think about before. So thank you so much for your knowledge. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I also want to ask if any of my listeners are able to. I really need financial help to stay on the radio. I'm going month by month. I don't know if next month I will stick around, but I really want to be here. But I've run into financial difficulties. So if you are able, please prayerfully consider sending me a gift, becoming a monthly partner. And you can make any donation by visiting my website, ambermayshow.com, or you can write me, P.O. Box 86474, Phoenix, Arizona, 85080. Once again, thank you so much. And my P.O. Box is 86474, Phoenix, Arizona, 85080. Well, from all of us here at KXXT 1010, have a great day. Are you like me? Whenever I have a project at home that requires professional help, I never know where to go to find reliable and honest help. AngiesList.com/Amber is a wonderful resource where you'll find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you visit AngiesList.com/Amber, you will receive 25% off your subscription. Let AngiesList.com/Amber take away the guesswork to be able to find a quality service provider for your next project. Whenever I need to buy new shoes, I always go to Foot Locker. That's why I am so excited to be able to get you a discount at FootLocker.com for your next purchase of shoes or apparel. When you visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3, you will receive 15% off your total purchase. This discount could not come at a better time. I know we are all doing what we can to save money. So please visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3, that's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER3, for 15% off your total purchase at checkout.
Good faith radio shows like the one you just heard can't stay on the air without partners who listen, get blessed, and learn more about God's Word, and then contribute with financial help. Even a small love offering invested in the show you just heard goes so far as to help pay for airtime and as a vote to keep the show on the air. Send your love offerings to Amber May at the station or AmberMayShow.com. That's here at the station or AmberMayShow.com. Thank you for listening to the Lord and for giving to this radio outreach.